SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday and a very happy New Year to those celebrating. Shana Tova. And why am I even doing a show? It just occurs to me why I should be off. I should be in Temple. I did not plan ahead very well. I didn't plan ahead for a couple of things. I didn't realize it was going to go from 90 to 60. Oh my God! Yeah, you want fall? Here it is. Arrived on the doorstep. So did Rosh Hashanah, which I looked up. I think it was on Thursday that I noticed on the calendar that, oh my God, the high holidays are here. So for those of our particular persuasion, I hope it's a great year for you and your families and lots of good health and happiness. Hope it's a good one. It was for the most part a good weekend, and there were a lot of different things to partake, including closing day yesterday at Monmouth. The weather impacted a lot of things, including that sequence. Came off the turf. It didn't destroy the sequence. There was really not a huge amount of scratches. The result, actually, I think, I love when a majority or a good number of players in those forced distribution scenarios, the jackpots, it's always better when the sequence doesn't have to chalk out completely. And the one yesterday was a good example. A lot of popular winners, and then a decent price. A tough horse in that Nightcap, that six shooter. That was not an easy horse. I went back and looked after the finish, and that was not an easy horse to have on your ticket. You needed to be deep, and maybe some people, you know, wanted to make sure they were live in that last segment of the Jersey Shore Six. They bet $1 million in. There was $370,000 going into it, and $1 million brought in. So, nice flourish to finish the Monmouth summer. There is, of course, action to come at Meadowlands, the turf program. But as we all know, wet weather, that seems to be a magnet for wet weather. What happened in Kentucky even impacts today, the start of the Keeneland sale. We'll talk to Nicole Russo in the second half of the show. We'll get a full preview of Keeneland. 4 days of book one, another little tweaking of the early offerings. The last 3 years they've adjusted. We talked to Nicole briefly about it, and I think to Sid too, actually, going back when the announcement came. And the motivation was basically to spread out the big horses a little bit and not force buyers to have to look at just way too many horses way too quickly. So instead of about 1,200 horses in the early stages, there'll be, I think I saw 900 and change, 950, give or take, in the first 4 days. So it makes it a little bit easier. But yesterday, the storms that ended up forcing the cancellation of Kentucky Downs to Wednesday, they're not going to lose the day. They are going to run yesterday's Sunday card, including those Claiming Crown preview events and the Dueling Grounds Oaks and the Dueling Grounds Derby. They're going to run the entire card as is, as drawn, on Wednesday. No redraw. So that actually makes, with Belmont not picking up until Friday, it really does make for a nice Thursday, the last two of the 5 days for Kentucky Downs. And we'll talk about the Saturday results. And, in fact, we'll talk to Richard Baltus, who really has had a very nice weekend, not just invading Kentucky Downs, because, of course, he won the Old Friends with Nick Shares, Drayden Van Dyke, and happy birthday, DVD. It's his birthday. The miracle of Facebook provides... It saw the little thing flash up in the corner of my screen. It said, Drayden Van Dyke and six other friends have birthdays today. So happy birthday, DVD. And it was a happy weekend for Drayden Van Dyke and with Richie Baltus, because not only did they win on Thursday with Next Shares, came back and won the ladies' turf on Saturday with Insta Irma, the pioneer of the Nile Mare. And, of course, started out in the Mott Barn and named for longtime Mott Barn staffer Irma. And I think this is what the second, this is at least the second Irma horse. She's had a couple of horses named after her. And Baltus and Van Dyke teamed up to win the ladies' turf as well. We'll talk to a few of the winners from the weekend at Kentucky Downs, including Mike Stidham as well. Pro forma. And by the way, tremendous job by Marty and James Scully and Ed DeRosa. A number of the pricey horses from Saturday at Kentucky Downs, pro forma specifically, a tremendous pop from Ed and James. Marty and I talked about Arklow, and Arklow somehow managed to pay, I think was 15 to 2, right? It was $17. And Brad Cox and Florent Giroux teaming up there. Pro forma, Mike Stidham. And I frankly owed Mike Stidham a call anyway. Synchrony last week at Monmouth. So we'll catch up with Mike Stidham as well in this hour. Joe Bravo with Pro Forma, who was spectacular. And in fact, there was any number, Ruby Notion, a horse that we kind of stressed with from Darren Miller at Silverton Hill off of the Saratoga win, and came back and won the ladies sprint. And there was a whole bunch of horses that we had talked about last week. And Samilla's Sense of Snow. How great was that? Samilla, the Arlington, right in the middle of the two-year-old action, the Arlington, Washington, Lassie and Futurity, there was that maiden race, and Samilla's Sense of Snow, Hugh Robertson, got that at 11-2. That was tremendous. And even there was even one more at a big price that, we go back to Friday at Los Al. And I don't know if people made a mental note, but had talked about the maiden race on Friday. And I told you about Samantha Siegel with Strictly Biz. You got to be kidding. Paid $31.20 and was absolutely dominant. FedBiz Colt out of the wonderful Ippy Tombe. I mean, how this horse goes off at 14-1, and okay, there was the Baffert even money favorite. There was also 3-2 on Doug O'Neill for Mr. Redham with Tut, the Cairo Prince, the $500,000. Yeah, we talked about this field, and in fact, those are the horses that were more or less discussed. Was that trifecta? Strictly Biz, just a $100,000 purchase at OBS, bred by Colt's Neck, Rich Santulli, and Ippie Tambay, I mean, she was a terror. I mean, for those of you that saw her run, she was tremendous. I am shocked that this horse went off at 14-1. This came on Friday. About 5:30 Eastern, day two of Los Al. And, you know, to add to Rich Baltus's weekend, the return of Gas Station Sushi that was terrific. Gas Station Sushi crushed the Beverly J. Lewis. So, well, that's three stake winners since Thursday for the Baltus barn. Since we're mentioning Los Al, also should mention the result in the Johnston, the other stake on the card. Shades of Victory at a monster price. Reed Saldana, who owns this Calbred, this was a group of well-traveled and familiar Calbreds. Shades of Victory, 80-1. 80-1. Unbelievable. And I'm not sure why, you know, been, you know, allowance type stretched out from 6.5 to the mile. Had never run at Los Al, but an absolute thriller, three-horse finish. Edwards going left, third, B-squared second, Shades of Victory, the winner. Unbelievable. 80-1, and that helped trip the carryover into yesterday at Los Al. Reed Saldana, congratulations on this. You know, this horse was claimed away for 12.5 back in April. And, you know, it's been okay. It's been, you know, running 70s and then up into the 80s. Has gotten better here as a four-year-old as the year went on. You know, it didn't really... You know, it's amazing, actually, because there was a couple of horses. There's a couple of horses from the weekend that won. And when you look back, you can understand their success. There was also Robertino Diodoro, who won the British Columbia Derby with Sky Promise. And Sky Promise is a horse who's been born again on the dirt, was running on turf. And now has won, what, three straight stakes? Moving over to the main track. And as for Shades of Victory, was also doing a little bit too much on the turf and on the synthetic up at Golden Gate. And now back on the dirt, you know, has really... It started to get better, and Saldana, quite notably, you look down, stretch outs, coming into this, 18% stretching horses out from sprints to routes, and had a positive ROI doing it. So the stretch out, Shades of Victory, 80-1. You know, well, all right, let me get this out of the way because it's just too sad. It was not all flowers and roses over the weekend. And you know where I'm headed, I think, if you were watching the action Saturday. In the juvenile turf sprint that started the stakes action at Kentucky Downs, the heel clip incident, David Baxter's chattel, and we had such a fun conversation with Brandon McFarlane after chattel came to Saratoga and won the Skidmore and went into this as, you know, really the, you know, one of the two obvious players. And a tiring Sovereign Impact backing up into chattel and Kendrick Carmouche and Chad will go down. And Chad needed to be euthanized. Kendrick Carmouche is having surgery. He'll be out a couple of months. He's got a kind of a hairline fracture. So we wish Kendrick the best, and our hearts go out to David Baxter and Brandon McFarland. This just wasn't fair. I mean, everybody, one, you know, you're in this game long enough, you're going to lose a horse in a way like this, whether it's breeding or racing. And, you know, to have a big horse like this, like Brandon found and developed, it's a deep pain. Let's take a break. Come right back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade II $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free T-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. Me such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I want money. That's what I want.
We're back at the races. About 20 in, we'll talk to Mike Stidham at the bottom of the hour and Richie Baltus, Johnny D as well, and Johnny back from a whirlwind trip to Italy. We talked to Johnny last Monday. And then I don't know. 10 minutes later, he and Gail are on a palazzo in Florence. I'm literally, I mean, I literally looked up, I think, by Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And you know, there's Gail, you know, drizzling truffle oil on Carchofi. So we'll see about Johnny and Gail's trip. And although I can't imagine Johnny, you know, I was kidding, you know, about the you know, how he was going to watch the Eagle game, but we'll see if he was able to catch up on any racing action as well when we talk to him. A couple of other notes as we look forward to catching up with Mike Stidham, and we'll save the other Kentucky Downs conversation. That card, it's kind of nice actually that, you know, considering, you know, the week, it's a good, it'll really be for an, make for a nice midweek attention. And I'll have to check weather. And yes, weather related topic. The World Equestrian Games get started at Tryon today. Things really in earnest get going on Wednesday, and you got the makings of a hurricane, right, coming up the coast. So that they're on a little bit of a, they're kind of on a watch and see for this. And I will mention, you know, in fact, I'm going to put a call out to Randy Moss, who is anchoring the TV coverage, and there is a ton. If you're an equine sport fan, it's a big couple of weeks with the World Equestrian Games, and something like 50 hours of more than that coverage on NBC, NBCSN, and the Olympic Network, which I didn't even know existed, the Olympic Channel, and all of it starts. You know, there's dressage and there's cross country and jumping, vaulting, you name it, driving, and my God, it World Equestrian Games. And, you know, these are kind of snuck up on us because this was supposed to take place in Quebec. And what, about a year ago, year and a half ago, it feels like a little bit of a last minute, they moved to Tryon. And the accommodation, you know, having to make a switch like that. I mean, there's a lot of visitors. There's hundreds of thousands that'll attend over the next 2 weeks. So, if you want to follow it, Tryon, Tryon, 2018.com, or at, you know, any of the U.S. equestrian site and Chronicle of the Horse has great coverage. In fact, we should reach out for Glennie Kane Oakford as well. And on this topic, I told you Nicole Russo is going to join us to preview Keeneland. And there was, over the weekend, I made just a quick reference to it, but New Vocations had their All Thoroughbred charity show Friday and Saturday leading into yesterday, this all at the horse park. And on Sunday, they had the Jockey Club's TIP program, the Thoroughbred Incentive Program Championships. And Nicole did very well, as it happens, with her horse, Warrior. So we'll congratulate Nicole. She got a reserve championship. So we'll touch on it. And you know, this has become the biggest show of its kind, you know, along with, you know, the makeover, you know, the Thoroughbred, the whole tremendous job of the Thoroughbred makeover, and certainly timely when we consider, you know, how much conversation has focused on saving horses and finding second careers for horses. And this has been an amazing success. These competitions, you know, basically not huge prize money, but it's really not even the prize money that matters. It's showing off skills with your off the track thoroughbred, and it's really always worth celebrating what's being accomplished. A couple of other results before we get to Mike Stidham. I mentioned last week that they were going to run those futurities at Finger Lakes, and the Saratoga horses were prominent and successful, actually. La Forza, the Barry Schwartz homebred, the flatter colt, easy winner at 1-4, basically. Paid $250. La Forza, prominent. Chris DiCarlo, up to ride. And La Forza wins the aspirant. Cadence Courage, second for Sunrise and Rudy Rod. And on the girl's side, in the lady finger, Sassy Agnes. This is actually a filly that you saw at Saratoga a couple different times. Tried turf sprinting. That didn't go so well. Linda Rice brings her back, and she was a good second behind the flashy Al Gold winner, Take Me to Hardoon. And this was actually the race that we participated in, too, with Corporal Magdalena. And Sassy Agnes comes out of this race, and she wins well, the lady finger, under Oscar Gomez. That's a nice check. This was a $105,000 OBS March purchase, Beach Haven Thoroughbreds, with Linda, and a horse that Seth Klarman bred out of his Bullish Sentiment, the Stormy Atlantic mare, and the first stake winner for Central Banker, who actually had been poised going back to New York Bred Day, was kind of poised with Collegeville Girl to get his first stake win, and actually had Bankett too run second. At least Bankett got to run. Collegeville Girl, of course, with the incident in the gate, but she'll be okay. So Sassy Agnes, a winner, was not favored. She's a super freak who made the lead and just really had no, just was not nearly as sharp in this second start as she was when she whistled mid-month at Saratoga, Alejandro Mamo. So disappoints a little bit at 4-5. Mott Meatloaf was second, chasing behind Sassy Agnes the whole way. That's the Maya Engelhardt and Mike Rapoli. Mott Meatloaf. Pretty funny. Stay Thirsty homebred for Mike Rapoli. So that was, I wanted to get that in. And while we're on the futurity front, and since I mentioned Robertino Diodoro's win with Sky Promise, you also had a couple of rich futurities at Hastings. The Jack and Sadie Diamond futurities. And of course, the Diamonds, if you don't know the name, if you're not from the Canadian Northwest, Jack Diamond, an amazing story. And his story in Canada, he came to Canada from Poland and became a hugely successful meat processor, and bought a butcher shop and turned it into a huge packing outfit, and was a wonderful supporter of the sport. When I was living in Montreal, and Jack Diamond's got to be dead at least 10 years, but he was a tremendous benefactor and a very important. He and his wife Sadie, immensely important around Vancouver. And the Jack Diamond Futurity that day, and this is a New Year's Day for Canyon Farms, a homebred. Craig McPherson sent that day out to this win, and I'm not sure if this is New Year's Day. I think New Year's Day's already got a stake winner, so this may be a second one. But this was a maiden, actually, and wins the Jack Diamond. And the Sadie Diamond for the girls, Dancing Shoes, big easy winner at 1-2, across traffic filly for David File and DeLaurelin File. That's an interesting. There, it's a homebred of theirs. PIHL, Pill, Phil, Pile. So those were your Futurity winners, along with what went on in the British Columbia Derby and in the Oaks. Let me slip that in. Here's Hannah, a Numani filly, BC Stables, and Paul Caravetta, John Morrison training, and a wire-to-wire winner of the BC Oaks. So that was the big day at Hastings. Let me get that in there. Sky Promise, I mentioned to you, the Sky Mesa colt. Rick and Clayton Wiest and partners. Bred by Normandy Farm. And Sky Promise have been claimed a couple of times. Ken McPeak originally had Sky Promise, you'll recall. And Angel Montano claimed at Churchill and then claimed away by Diodoro and the partners and put on dirt and has now won three straight. The Manitoba Derby, the Canadian Derby, and now the BC Derby, the Grade 3. So, surface switch for a Sky Mesa out of a De Hare mare. That's, you know, that that's what, you know, that kind of the theme of the day, right, with the as mentioned, you move them, you know, stretch them out, cut them back, turf them, dirt them, wake them up. So, Hastings. When I used to go there, it was Exhibition Park. Take a break right here. Mike Stidham is going to join us next. We'll talk about his recent successes. That included Saturday, Kentucky Downs, pro forma, who was handed to you on a platter by DeRosa and Scully. Back after this with Mike.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade 2 $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Master Sats for the first 1,000 fans. Free T-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The Grisnet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at Grisnet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at Grisnet.com/APR. The Grisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit Grisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Grisnet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
And I was just checking, Mike, trying to reach Mike Stidham, and let me see if, by all rights, that is New Year's Day's, well, that's a stake winner. The Day Raider. Yeah, there you go, Day Raider. Also at Hastings. Won the Sir Winston Churchill Derby Trial. So, it's kind of interesting, both of New Year's Day's first two stake winners, both coming at Hastings, which is kind of odd, just the way it falls. There's quite a few out there of that the Wests have, obviously, and you know, that fits that same tie-in as you know, with all the stallions that the West have standing with John Secura at Hill and Dale. Well, Mike Stidham is going to join us, and we owed Mike a call because Synchrony last week at Monmouth, as they approach the end of the season, wins the Red Bank, and then in very impressive and in record fashion, pro forma in the turf sprint, the grade three, with his man Joe Bravo winning aboard pro forma. Mike, congratulations.
Hi, Steve. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No, we've been wanting to get to you pretty much through the summer. Was watching with interest, and you're pretty much campaigning all over the place. Yeah. Start here with Saturday, and pro forma sets a new course record at Kentucky Downs and the 6.5 furlong sprint. And I can tell you that DeRosa and Scully here on the show Friday, they were all over him, and 1760 for the backers. Talk about pro forma's development.
Yeah, when I saw 20-1 on the morning line, I was thinking I must be looking at something different than the morning line maker. But Anyway, now this horse is, he's been a really neat horse to have in the barn. You know, he won a couple of stakes as a three-year-old and at Monmouth last year, and he's just progressed. And Joe Bravo told me the first time he rode him on the grass, he said, "Mike," he said, "this horse might be better on the grass than dirt." And, you know, we just hadn't had real good opportunities to get him on the grass. He had run a couple times, but in 5.5 furlong turf races. And finally, when this 6.5 showed up, it added a little distance, which is what he was lacking. He was always running well in the 5.5 turf races, but just seemed like it wasn't quite far enough. And this was perfect, you know, the 6.5, and it all worked out. So, you know, we were really, really delighted with the outcome.
And it is notable. You see the try in the Allied Forces last year. One of the things that we talked about with the boys on Friday was how this was third off the layoff. What was happening between September of last year in that try at Belmont and then bringing him back, you know, in June, July at the two starts at Monmouth?
Well, we just he needed a little time. He had a little ankle issue. We got him over that. And when he came back, you know, numbers-wise, he had definitely moved forward on his Ragusan numbers. He had run an eight on the dirt and an eight on the turf. And, you know, when I looked at the probables for this race at Kentucky Downs, I mean, his eights really, really put him in strong contention to win the race. And, you know, he'd been training well. We have him stabled at Fairhill, and at Fairhill, you know, there's some backfield gallops that we take some of the horses in, and it's kind of an uphill, similar to what you see at Kentucky Downs. And he had been training great and back in the field, and we thought that, you know, it might be just what he's looking for, and it turned out well.
Unbelievable. I was going to ask you too, when it comes to Kentucky Downs, where you've run, I mean, you've over the last, I'm looking at stats off of Thorographs, trainer stats, 34 starts coming into the weekend at Kentucky Downs. So you know what it takes to win there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we, over the years, we've tried to pick the horses we thought that would fit that course, and, we've had some success, and, he was definitely one that looked like he would fit the mold, and he really did. So, and then we had run another horse earlier in the day for Mr. Ross, for David Ross, who owns Performa, and in an allowance race, we were second with Zumarudi in the A other than condition. So it was a good day overall. We're happy to be there.
Talk about, and I'm glad. I want to bring up ownership and the DARS organization. We happened to be on hand at Saratoga to present for the win with Brendan Walsh. You trained for them as well. Give us some background, because I don't know anything about them.
Well, I'll tell you what, David Ross, of all the owners that I've trained for over the years, he runs one of the I don't know how to say it, but probably he runs one of the smartest operations I've ever been around, where, you know, he really allows the horses to be placed in the right spot. He plays a big part in picking the races and discussing, you know, the crosses of horses and what distance they really want to go. And he's a real student of the game, and he's very smart about it. And he gives a lot of input in, you know, the placement of the horses and everything. And then the other thing is he has employed James Breeden over the years, and James picks most of the horses out of the sales, and he goes to Europe and buys horses like Zumarudi and some of the horses that Brendan has for him. And between James and David, you know, they do a great job of putting really good horses in my barn. So I'm delighted to to be involved with him and have the opportunity to train for him. But he's very, very smart man as far as, you know, buying and placing horses.
Well, and I certainly like the array of horsemen that he's been involved with too, right? I mean, you and Brendan, and I think Tony Dutrow has got some for him over the years, and that also a positive.
Well, absolutely, but what I've learned over the years, and what most horsemen know, is that the horses are what make the trainers and the jockeys, and without the good horses, we're really nothing. So it's important to get a chance, an opportunity with nice horses, and I've been lucky to have good clients that supply nice horses to me.
Well, you know, looking at what you're gonna, where you are with Proforma at this point, off, you know, a big performance, obviously, and career best fig, just using buyer scale, is a run toward Breeders' Cup. Is it something that makes sense? Is that too sharp for him?
Well,
I mean, it feels like six and a half. That middle distance turf sprint feels like his thing, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, probably the biggest drawback would be the distance. Like I say, if it was more like a six and a half, even at Santa Anita down the hill or something like that. We're going to look around. I mean, certainly he had to step up and run a race like he did the other day for us to even be considering races like the Breeders' Cup or, tougher spots. But he certainly put himself in the picture the other day the way he ran. So we're excited about it, and then we'll look around and consider a race like the Breeders' Cup. But there's other opportunities too that we'll be looking at.
How was it? I'm noticing one kind of sidebar, and that's the Beesons. I mean, he was a purchase clearly out of the February sale, but Ross has been in partnership with the Beesons before, so he kind of maybe had an eye on this horse. He kind of was watching all the way from the beginning.
Yeah, well, this is a horse that that James Breeden picked out of the Ocala sale, and like I say, it was James pick, and like I say, did a great job, put him in our barn, and we've been the lucky ones to get to train such a nice horse.
Nice. Well, that just I see the name, and it just and the breed, on the breeding side, Reggie and Tim Beeson.
Well, okay. I know that Mr. Ross has been in partners with them, but on this horse, as far as I know, it's just Dars by himself.
Nice. Well, clearly on the rise, and a 4-year-old, he's a gelding, so he's not going anywhere, and they will be running that turf sprint down the hill at Santa Anita next year. So that's got a big circle on it for 2019. I love it. Let's talk about Synchrony too. I mean, we've had so many nice conversations about him, and now five, and what can you say? I mean, just fires every single time.
Yeah. Well, I've trained for many years for Pin Oak and Josephine Abercrombie, Clifford Berry, runs the whole operation, and I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to have Synchrony sent to me, and basically at that point it was to try the grass with him. He had been running mostly on dirt as a 2- and 3-year-old, and needed a little time off. He had some remodeling, end of the cannon bone remodeling going on, and we gave him the time that he needed, and it's paid off. And getting him to the grass has also been a big plus for him. And I mean, that those couple of races at Monmouth that he ran this summer were really big efforts, and you know, off of those, he really stepped up in the last one, moved forward on the on his numbers, and we're going to, you know, take a look at the Shadwell at Keeneland in October as his next start.
Very nice. And one of the luxuries that everybody seems to have when you've got horses at Fair Hill is a chance to look at multiple condition books and kind of pick and choose. And you know, you did try the Red Bank last year, and he fell short. In fact, of Mrs. De Tomaso's Irish Straight, who was third in here, and in fact, I should mention at the Toba Award Dinner Saturday night, Mrs. De Tomaso named the Small Breeder of the Year, Owner of the Year to Bob Edwards and E5, and Mrs. Weber and Live Oak, the Large Breeder of the Year. So congratulations to all three. But you had the opportunity to, you know, did you consider something like the Sword Dancer for him, or is that too long?
Well, what we did was early in the summer after he had, in March after he had won, going a mile and eighth at the fairgrounds, he won the Mervyn Muniz. And at that point, we had to really decide what direction we were going to go with him. We either had to, you know, make him a horse that was going to be going, you know, a mile and an eighth and up, or we had to look at the, you know, mile and an eighth and under races. And we took him to Arlington and ran him in the prep there for the Arlington Million, going a mile and 3/16. And we felt that he just didn't have that same kick down the lane. You know, he loomed up at Arlington that day and just kind of hung the last 16th of a mile. He was just kind of there and not really given that big punch that he's shown in some of his races. So at that point, that told us what we needed to know. We scrapped the idea of running in the Million and turned back to the mile and a 16th at Monmouth, which he again showed his big kick and won nicely that day, and then came back in the Red Bank and going even shorter, going a mile. And again, if you watch the race, you know, he's got the real, real big turn of foot going the mile the other day and shot through and got it done nicely in the end. So that was the decision maker that we had in the middle of the summer to shorten him back up. And that's why we're considering now going a mile in the Shadwell.
Expand for a minute, Mike, on the trial and error portion of this, because you know, you look at his record, and he's actually caught a lot of different footings. He's caught yielding courses. He's caught good courses. You've tried him at Monmouth, Fairgrounds, Churchill, and Arlington. So you're talking about different kinds of base, you know, and then, you know, Keeneland, even another kind with the dirt, with the sand base. So how, from your experience and your career, how many different times do you need to try horses on turf before you feel like you've got a handle on their best aptitudes?
Well, the one thing we know about Synchrony is that he's going to go out there and try no matter where we run him, whether it's soft, firm, going a mile and a quarter, going a flat mile. He's going to go out there and lay his body down for you. And our only job with Synchrony was to try to find his sweet spot, what distance where he really excelled, where he could maybe step up to the grade ones and grade twos that we were looking for. And that's what we found out. I mean, as far as, you know, running horses on the grass, I mean, a lot of times the pedigree tells you a lot about, you know, if they're going to prefer one surface over the other. And then ultimately, you don't really know until you try them in the afternoon, and they've got to either step up and get it done on a particular surface or not. And at the end of the day, you know, the horse answers the questions in the afternoon, and that's what we find. But with Synchrony, like I said, the grass has definitely moved him up. Although if you look back at Synchrony's form, and if you look at numbers on him as a two-year-old, and the end of his two-year-old year on the dirt, he ran a 7 Ragusan, which is a huge two-year-old number, even on the dirt. So that tells you a little bit about Synchrony. He's one of those kind of horses that he's going to run on any surface and try hard for you no matter where you're at. So he's the kind most trainers want to have in their barn.
Well, and of course, for Pin Oak, the homebred out of the wonderful Forest Wildcat mare, Brownie Points, that Donnie Kay trained, and Synchrony really has found a home. We'll head toward the Shadwell. And while we're talking Monmouth, of course, the meet wrapped up yesterday, and you had a couple of winners in the closing stages of the meet. And a couple of two-year-olds, and there's another question for you: determining, you know, where to place horses like the two winners, Classic Fit and Credit Swap. One, a turf sprint win, that was Credit Swap, going back to last weekend, and
right.
Also Classic Fit went a mile, went long, you know, both very nice, and looks like, you know, the modest figs, I mean, decent figs in the 60s, something to build on.
Yeah. With a horse like Credit Swap, you know, he's by exchange rate, and he's out of a big female family that all ran two turns on the grass. So, you know, we knew with the exchange rate we were going to have some speed in the pedigree, and the family on the bottom side was, you know, all from the Fantastic Sherl, and you know, that family that's produced so many some grade one winners on two turns on the grass. So with Credit Swap, we're still hoping that, you know, he is going to stretch and get the two turns. He did win going 5.5 first time out, and he had pretty much touted us in the morning working to him on the Tapita at Fairhill, which, you know, usually the horses that get over the Tapita well, generally, if they've got a turf pedigree, they're gonna like the grass. So when we finally did get him on the grass in the afternoon, I mean, he was, to the eye, he was very impressive, drew off by about 5 or 6 in the end. And I think the arrow is definitely pointing up for him. So we're going to look at a few different options at Keeneland for him and hope that, you know, he keeps going the right way. And then with Classic Fit, that's a Godolphin owned filly. And she, from the beginning, had, you know, indicated pedigree-wise a Bernardini filly, and just the way she moved in the morning that she was definitely going to be two turns. So we started her on the grass first time out going two turns, only because for two-year-olds in the middle of the summer, it's really hard to get a two-year-old maiden race to fill on the dirt going two turns that early in the year. So we put her on the grass just because we knew she wanted to go two turns, but thought actually in the end of the day that she'd probably want to go, you know, on the dirt. And that's where she broke her maiden in her second start. So we were lucky to have a lot of nice two-year-olds in the barn from Godolphin and multiple of our other owners, Pin Oak and Mount Brilliant Farm and so many of the others, David Ross. So, again, like I said in the beginning, without good horses in the barn, the trainers don't look good at all. So that's why we're blessed to have them.
Well, and you also you had that Gainsway winner, Graham's Way. It took a little bit to get this one a diploma, but certainly bred to be a nice horse.
Well, Graham's Way has been a project horse. He's always shown a lot more talent in the morning than he would actually put forth in the afternoon. But finally yesterday, maybe the flop, or not really sure what, but he put it all together and looked fairly impressive winning yesterday. So again, another nice horse that finally put it together in the afternoon.
Well, and just kind of in time too. You want to, you don't want to get, you don't want that calendar to turn 4. So
exactly.
you get Yeah, that the timing is good. You also, you know, when I say that you're operating everywhere, I mean, you've had over the summer between Arlington, Delaware, Presque Isle, Saratoga, on and on. I mean, you've really taken advantage of how many condition books are on the shelf for you?
Well, luckily I have some really, really good people working with me, and Hillary Pridham and Ben Trask and our assistant in Arlington, Rigo Rosas. They're really good people that work hard, and we have about, I would say, we're looking at usually about 10 condition books every day, looking at about 100 extras around the country, because some of these tracks write 15 or 20 extras every day. So it's a battle, and it's a good thing, but it's a lot of work. And like I say, my people do a fantastic job of helping me with, you know, finding the right races for these horses and, you know, picking the right spots for them, because, you know, placement of the horses is probably one of the most important things that we do as a trainer, you know, to know where our horses fit, what track and what level of competition that they're going to work best in. So that's what we do. And like I said, I couldn't do it without all my good people.
Well, I want to ask you about one winner before we talk about some starters coming up this week, including the rescheduled action at Kentucky Downs. You had a filly win an off-the-turf, obviously onto the synthetic, at Arlington mid-August by the name of Carnival Colors, that people may have missed, but she won off by a pole. This is a distorted humor filly, and she's got major upside.
Yeah. She's another Godolphin owned and bred horse. And, you know, she started first time out early in the summer, going 5.5 furlongs. And, you know, she ran well, but you could tell in the race she was third that some added distance was what she was screaming for. And when we finally got the race to go at 1 1/16, when they turned for home, she kicked into another gear and just drew away by, I think it was like 13 lengths. So we're real excited about her. We moved her over to, she had been at Arlington on the synthetic track, and we moved her over to Fairhill, and she's had a couple of dirt works at Fairhill, because if you look at her pedigree on the bottom side, she's got some really, really big, graded stakes winners that won, you know, two turns on the dirt. So we're hoping that she'll be able to, you know, transfer that same form over to the dirt. And, you know, we're looking at possible race like the Alcibiades and Keeneland and those kind of races for her. I mean, she's very talented, and her couple of dirt works have you know, impressed us and made us think that she'll be able to handle the dirt also.
Well, and all you can say or feel is lucky that she didn't, that the roulette peg didn't fall in Kieran's slot.
There you go. That's right. Well, with Godolphin, you know, they have so many horses all over the world. There's plenty to go around for a lot of, you know, several different trainers. And anytime you get horses from Godolphin, you know you're getting some of the best bred horses in the world. Stallions and mares are just the top of the cream of the crop. So anytime they unload horses into your barn, you could be getting the next champion. I mean, it's amazing the pedigrees that they have. So we're, again, like I keep saying, very, very lucky to have those kind of horses in our barn.
Well, and all you got to do, you know, you talk about black type in this family, that mare, the Dam, the Street Sense mare, Carnival Court, she's out of Delta Princess, making her a sister to Royal Delta.
Exactly. That's what I meant when I said two-turn dirt graded stakes winners. Champion.
Well, and She placed in the Alabama as a 3 year old, and she was with Karen, I think, the dam.
Yeah, she might have been. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think she was Carnival Court. I'm going to look her up. All right, then we got I wanted to make sure people knew about this filly, because this was one of the under Carnival Colors is her name, and she actually dropped in England and then came over, and Mitch Merle, I'm guessing that Mitch and his agent are are keeping close tabs on where she's going to turn up.
Oh yeah, they've asked a few times. When she left Arlington, the red flag went up, and they're like, "Oh, where's she going?"
Yeah,
okay, I'll let you know.
Yeah, that's a morning that you come to the barn for workouts. Wait. Where's that? Exactly. Where's that filly? Let's hit on a couple of maidens that are coming out this week, and everybody thrown a little bit of a curveball by the situation out of the weather that KO'd Kentucky Downs. You're set for Thursday anyway. Mary Celeste, opportunity on Thursday.
She's on the also eligible, so I doubt that most of the time it's difficult to get in off the also, because everybody wants to run for the big money. And it would mean shipping ahead of time before you even know if she's going to get in. So there's a good chance that we probably won't get in and won't ship. So I doubt that she'll be running. But she's one to keep your eye on, because she's talented. Another talented Godolphin filly that we have some high hopes for.
Well, the Mary Celeste was a ghost ship. That's a cool name, actually, that they slapped on her, and she bulleted yesterday preparing for a start.
She's been touting us in the morning, and like I say, we're anxious to get her started, but I doubt that she'll wind up getting in.
Yeah, nobody gets in. Well, meanwhile, you're also dotting the landscape. As we mentioned, you've got Summer Suite running at Belmont come Friday, and you've also got home field at Penn National that's coming up on Thursday, and also at Indiana on Wednesday, Nihilus.
Yeah. And again, Nihilus is another Godolphin 2 year old. He's been a little bit of a project, because we don't really feel like the synthetic has been the surface best for him. That's why we're shipping him out and running him on the dirt in Indiana. So we'll get a start into him. He'll probably want a little bit more. He's a pioneer of the Nile. Probably want a little bit more ground than 6 furlongs, but we have to start somewhere, so that's where we pick to get him started and get a little bit of a line and get a race into it.
Well, and out of an Indigo Shiner mare, and he also fired a bullet the other day preparing for the debut. So Nilus, Nihilus, coming up at Indiana. So you gotta have a compass, and you gotta have ways on your phone to follow Mike Stidham and the barn. But obviously, strong summer, and now into the fall, whether it's pro forma and synchrony and much, much more. Mike, just great to catch up. I just wanted to catch all the dot all the I's and cross all the T's.
Absolutely, and again, I appreciate you having me on the show. It's always nice to talk to you, and thank you for having me.
Not at all. Mike Stidham, everybody, and whether it's, as he mentioned, the strong roster of clients, Godolphin and Dars and Pin Oak and much, much more. Mount Brilliant, you see with him, too. I mean, Mike Stidham, in fact, you think about all the people that he's trained for over the years, including the McNairs and on and on. terrific job. Let's take a break. A little past the top of the hour. Actually, fell behind a little, but I'd been wanting to get Mike on for so long, and there were so many things that we needed to touch on, including that Carnival Colors. Keep an eye on her. And, yeah, Kieran did train that filly to a third-place finish in the Alabama. We'll catch up with Richie Baltus and then Johnny and Nicole Russo to preview the Keeneland sale. And as I mentioned earlier, the weather yesterday that knocked out Kentucky Downs, it also delayed the opportunity for prospective buyers to inspect yearlings. So the Keeneland sale does not start at 11 today. It starts at 1. They pushed the start back 2 hours to give everybody some of the time that they lost yesterday during the teeming rain. Let's step away. Richie Baltus joins us next. He had a mammoth week. Brought back gas station sushi to win the Bev Lewis. And he won a pair, the Old Friends and the Ladies Turf at Kentucky Downs. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.